thanks for being with us.
Pleasure to be with you.
When you decided to come back, you had obviously some idea of what you were getting yourself into. Has it lived up to your expectations so far?
Yeah, I think I'm very familiar. People ask me, how am I doing? I say it's like wearing old clothes. But the big difference, I think, is the fiscal situation, that in the 1990s, while there were difficult moments, in general, it was a good decade for public funding of higher education, and the current decade is not.
The challenges that you speak of, specifically with the state budget, and now this extra round of cuts, the so-called lapse, how do you maintain the university's mission as best you can while at the same time absorbing these cuts?
Well, I think what you have to do is remember that we're more like an orchestra than anything else, and so how you cut has to be proportionate. Everybody would like us to take a surgical approach, drop departments and programs, but there are interactive effects of all programs on each other. In the end, what you have to cut are new faculty and staff. There may be some areas where you can sort of take a program out, but in most cases, there are such strong connections between programs, you've got to be careful how you do that.
Now, you're working with lawmakers as to how this will all play out. What is the case you're making as to the value of the UW-Madison to the state?
Higher education, of course, tends on the whole to create high-end jobs. What we're trying to do is to suggest it will require some incentives to the business community to, in a sense, think about investments in 21st century jobs.
The academic year is already underway. What can be done after the school year has started in terms of cutbacks?
Well, the lapse itself was not a surprise. In fact, the magnitude of the lapse is the low end of the range that we were told to be prepared for. There were certain steps that we took not to overstep our bounds when we developed the budget for this year. Also, it is allegedly a lapse, so you don't want to take cuts that are permanent if it's a lapse, because we have high expectations of this funding being restored, and obviously taking programs or people out that eventually you will be able to afford once again doesn't make sense.
What kinds of forms could these cuts take that the public at large would be able to recognize?
Well, it's basically the size of the faculty and staff. Certain majors will no longer have the kind of openings that they wish for. So I think the main cost is going to be the range of choices that students will have. Maybe the frequency with which courses are available could extend time to degree. It's that kind of thing that I think it's an inconvenience to students that's probably the most immediate issue. The other issue is perhaps faculty getting discouraged and leaving us, particularly faculty who are key researchers who leverage very important grants. And so when we lose somebody who has a grant, you don't just save their salary, as it were, you then lose the $1 million or so in grants that they bring to the university.
But times are tough, and the taxpayer can only be stretched so far, and the pain must be shared by the public sector as much as it has been in the private sector these past few years.
And I think that's a fair observation. The only complaint we have about the lapse is the proportion that we're taking, not that we shouldn't share in the lapse.
David Ward, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.